Welcome to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast and YouTube show. It's your host Alex, aka Auburn Memes. I want to thank all you guys for checking it out. Joined today with me is Andrew Stefaniak, writer for AuburnDaily.com. And today we're going to jump into talking about the midway point of how the Auburn transfers have done this far that Hugh Freeze brought in. Middle of the season, good time to see it. And obviously there was a whole lot of transfers on this team. Was it 22, Andrew, I believe?
That sounds right. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a whole bunch.
Yeah, it was low 20s.
20. In this article, 20, yeah.
Okay. So a lot of guys on the team, a lot of guys who have been making impacts, and we're going to kind of review to see how they did and how the staff did with evaluating and kind of where they hit, where they missed, and everything in between. Now, what I want to kind of break down for this, just to kind of get us started, is you've got about three different types of transfers from an ideal standpoint. You're bringing somebody in to start, you're bringing somebody in to be a depth piece, and you're bringing somebody in as sort of a future play. Maybe a younger guy who might get some playing time, but really you're looking to have that longer-term depth. And I guess everybody's opinion can vary on the differences there, but that's, and Auburn needed all three of those different things on the offseason, hence why they had to bring in 20 plus guys. So let's start with it, Andrew. Who would you say would be your biggest surprise thus far in a good way and your biggest surprise in a bad way?
In a good way, I've got a couple. I think that I haven't loved the way Rivaldo Fairweather has been utilized, but I think he, in essence, won Auburn a couple games. I mean, won Auburn that Cal game with winning that 50-50 ball and then making that great catch on that long third down. So I think that he could be utilized more slash better, but I still think that I like what I've seen from him. The other guy, I think you could make the same argument, has been Batty. I was big on Batty going into the season, Brian Batty, the running back. And they, you know, he was an All-American kick returner. He showed flashes in the run game. But I've been positively surprised by him. Personally, I think he's done some good things. Same as for Fairweather. I think they could utilize him more. I think they could utilize him better. But then again, it's different for Fairweather than it's Batty, because for Batty, you know, you got Jeremiah Cobb and Austin's coming back from the injury. You've got Jarquez Hunter. With Fairweather, it's a, you know, the receiver room and the tight end room has been a struggle to this point. So I get why Batty hasn't been getting all that much work, but there is no excuse as to why Fairweather isn't being force fed.
Now, I would say during the offseason, Fairweather was one of the most hyped up guys as far as what his impact could be. There were a lot of people pretty confidently saying Fairweather is going to lead this team in receptions. He's going to be a red zone monster. A lot of hype around him. Now, he's shown flashes, but overall, I don't feel like he's lived up to that hype. And you could argue chicken and egg. Was it he just hadn't played up to his ability, or the game plan and or the quarterback just is not getting him the ball in the right situations? There's an argument. We'd have to watch a lot of film and have some, you know, pretty proprietary conversation with coaches to know the answer to that. But I think another aspect of that, and I'm glad you mentioned Batty too, because to me, I'm always going to look at what was a guy expected to do versus what they did. And I think Batty was coming in as a guy who a lot of folks saw, or the coaches kind of hyped up, this is going to be a kick return specialist. He'll play some as running back. Now, he's been okay at kick return, but he's been considered a surprise at running back. I mean, considering where he comes from, you don't look at a guy coming from South Florida and saying, especially a guy who's, what do they have his height listed here? 5'6"? He might be a little taller than that.
Not very big.
Yeah, he's a smaller guy as an impact running back in the SEC. So most definitely a highlight there. And now we're going to just jump into the elephant in the room if we're going to be rating and evaluating and grading transfers. The guy who comes in who is expected to have the biggest impact for obvious reasons, Peyton Thorne. What are your thoughts on how Peyton has done thus far?
Not well in any capacity. I have gotten to a point of frustration with this season. I vocalized that a little bit last time we talked, and, you know, with this team. Now, I'm not a fan of the two quarterback thing. I'm not. I just think historically that doesn't go well. I think Peyton Thorne, give him the keys or don't. But I do think we've seen enough now that I'm on board with seeing what Robbie can do. I was a Robbie guy in the offseason just because of what he can do with his legs. I thought he was this close with his arm. I think people were a little over-hating on what he did with his arm last year. It wasn't great. It was not great, but there's definitely there was room to improve. I think Auburn fans and fans in general, not just Auburn fans, and I think we all do this. I do this. We forget that people are allowed to get better at football. You know, I think people are so quick to say, well, he was bad last year, so let's move on. I think from what I've seen from Peyton Thorne, I think he's been atrocious. I think it's been painful to watch. It's been ugly. And I think this season, you're not – winning the West was never really, like, in play. But, you know, it's not like anything like that's in play anymore. See what Robbie can do. You know, you've only got a few games left. Get yourself bowl eligible. See what Robbie can do. You got Walker White coming in. You've got the talent coming in. See if Robbie can win you some football games. Next season, I think Auburn should take another step in the right direction. And what I've seen from Peyton Thorne, I don't think he's the answer. I get the whole, you could argue maybe his receivers aren't great. You could argue that he hasn't been utilized well, or you could argue maybe we should put him in, leave him in the game more. I agree with that. I don't think he's been dealt the best hand at Auburn, but he's had enough opportunities to do something, and he hasn't done anything except for against Samford, which, you know, you can't. He hasn't done anything against anybody that matters.
It's Samford, right? Yeah, that's not your judge. And I've mentioned this numerous times. We'll say it again here just to stay consistent. I think a lot of people bogged a little too hard on what happened against an opponent that is just, there's such a large talent disparity between those two teams. It just doesn't even really, it doesn't give you an accurate, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for here? An accurate picture of what the reality really is with the team, the talent, their strengths and their weaknesses. And I think you're kind of playing with fool's gold there to see something like that. But I want to kind of go back to the ranking side of it. I'm bouncing back and forth between 24/7 and On3 here. And they're starting to kind of come out with the transfer star rating, and then, you know, kind of contrasting that with high school and just sort of averaging both here to where they have them ranked. So your top guys from the hype standpoint would have been Dylan Wade, good. And then Avery Jones was also very, very highly rated, maybe the highest rated from a transfer standpoint, and that can get there. Justin Rogers, and then Fairweather would have been up there as well for some of your higher rated transfers. So I want to start with kind of that tier right there of those guys. And we already hit on Fairweather a little bit. But how do you think Jones and Dylan Wade have done thus far? And then I guess we'll lump in Justin Rogers as well.
You know, I think I want to make a comment on my thoughts on transfers as a whole. First, before I get into those two guys, and just a quick hit on this. My belief on transfers, I think that people get unrealistic expectations of what transfers are. And let me back that argument. And I think this could turn into a conversation. And if it does, I apologize for sidetracking us for a couple minutes here. But I just think that there's two different types of transfers for me. There's your guys who played at lower level schools and want to make the move up in the world.
Right.
And then you've got your misfit toys.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
no. Yeah, I want to hear this out.
Yeah. Like, so a guy like that, not saying that there's no hit rate on these, but a guy like Caleb Burton's a great example. I know we'll get into him. A high-ranked guy, deals with injuries at Ohio State, comes to Auburn, people are super excited. He's not playing at Ohio State for a reason. You know, they recruited. There's a reason he left. And I think people get these unrealistic expectations about what transfers might come in and do, when at the end of the day, there's a reason they're leaving their school. There's a reason Peyton Thorne left Michigan State. Like, there's reasons for all this that sometimes are greater than, you know, and like I said, sometimes it's the lower level guys coming up, want to play SEC football. That's a thing. We've seen that. That's a legitimate thing. And then sometimes there's the misfit toys. I know that's maybe not the best way to say that, you know, the nicest way to say that, but it's the blunt way to say that. And so I think people get those expectations. I think Justin Rogers is kind of a guy like that. Now, I'll give you an example. He's been in this, well, first, talk about the offensive lineman. I think the offensive line has been fine. I don't think the offensive line has been great, and it's full of transfers, you know, Britton, Jones, Wade. I've been happier with Wade than I have been Avery Jones. Do you agree there?
I mean, the deal is the line had nowhere to go but up.
Exactly.
You know, and Jones has struggled and had the high snaps and some other issues for sure. I want to say maybe he had a false start or two last week. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, I mean, Dylan Wade is by far just a machine, a much needed machine. Because, I mean, that'd really been the issue with the line in the past number of years. It was like there was never really a guy who just felt like who's the best guy on the line. It was more of who's the
not worst,
best of the worst. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's nice to actually have a highlight on the line and just some consistency to at least start to kind of stack those on each other to say, all right, well, if we can start winning in the trenches, then maybe, just maybe, we can go from there. And Dylan Wade's a guy that came from Tulsa too. So that, I think, with the expectations of a guy from Tulsa in the SEC, I mean, that's a great hit. Now, I believe his year, I think he have one more year of eligibility after this. Do you know that off the top of your head?
I don't know much about his eligibility.
I've got a list here. Because COVID years still make every – I'm ready for us to be 5 years past 2020, so I don't have
you
to
got
know,
your like, redshirt year, and then you got – and it's over. There's no math. There's no
right, math. Right. Yeah, it's just really – you see somebody's a junior, you know there's a junior. Like, oh, well, he redshirted and he had a COVID year.
Yeah.
What in the – it's awful. Let me see here if I got that pulled up really, really fast. Wade, yeah, I believe he has got another year after this year.
Perfect. That's a good thing. That's good news.
Right. Need that. So Justin Rogers. Sorry.
Justin Rogers. I live in Lexington. I don't know if people, the Auburn family knows that. I live in Lexington. Diehard Auburn fan. Obviously, have been my whole life. My dad's an Auburn grad. I would have gone to Auburn had I not played baseball in school. But point here is, I know Justin Rogers, like a bit about him. I've seen him out on the town a little bit. I knew him before he transferred to Auburn. I think that last week he was, I mean, the numbers, like I wrote a winners. I write a winners article after every game. He was one of my five winners from the game. I thought that he kind of had a good football game. He was out there graded out really well on PFF in that ball game. I think he's a player that I was almost ready to throw in that. Listen, it didn't work out for him at Kentucky. Oh boy. That's not good because that's Kentucky. This is Auburn, which isn't really true. He was fine at Kentucky. He was one of those guys that was almost a five-star, but not, you know, kind of high four-star, almost a five-star guys. So I would say based on that, you could argue that at Kentucky, he didn't really live up to the hype, but he was still fine. And he's come to Auburn and he's done some good things. I've been happy with him. I think that, like you said, one of the guys that there was a lot of, I think, hype from him coming in, I don't think he's maybe lived up to the hype at Auburn that we had heading into the year, but I think he's been fine, and he's getting better, and in the stats against LSU and PFF grade, I think, back that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and he definitely seems like a guy who is trending in the right direction, one that you really would have hoped had a little bit more impact, but I don't think one, just all things considered, you feel too bad about, and I believe he also has another year left. At least, so like I said, with COVID years and all that, it's so hard to keep track of. Keeping us moving along, I want to toss in some other folks in there, and I'm just going to go ahead and loop them all together. We kind of teased at it, but let's go over the receivers. So you'd mentioned Burton briefly, and I think we can kind of say he was more going to be a futures play. This wasn't a guy you brought in to have an instant impact, but a guy to kind of build depth and have for a little while to position they needed as much depth as possible. Then you've got Nick Mardner. Earlier commit who came from Cincinnati, and then you've got Hooks and Shorter. So I believe here I'm just going to pull up the hype train of what you would have looked at with them. So this is going to be according to 24/7. Out of those guys, Shane Hooks came in as the highest. I guess him and Shorter were tied as far as their transfer evaluation level. And then Burton came in at, drum roll as I learn how to operate my scroll button. I guess he came in right around the same tier as them. Never mind. So they were all brought in with the same level, and then Nick Mardner would have been a three-star slightly lower. So that is how – and Nick Mardner was a two-star out of high school, according to 24/7. So just really tall guy. And if you see Nick Mardner in person, he is very – I mean, he's 6'6 and looks every inch of it. But that has probably been the most controversial group, not only just from the transfer standpoint, but just as a whole as receivers. I think we know where this is going. I think the listeners know where this is going. We're just going to let you go there, the receivers.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if you think I was going to hammer them. I mean, I haven't been stoked, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I fully gave it to Peyton Thorne that I kind of wanted to and should have here. These receivers, I think Nick Mardner, he's been off the field shorter. I believe tape speaks for itself. The tape on Shorter at North Texas was awesome. Injuries, I think, held him back a lot. Burton, there really wasn't any tape on him. Hooks, same thing. The tape did a lot of speaking for him. I've liked Hooks. I have liked Hooks to this point. Do you have his eligibility pulled up for Hooks? Do we have him a little bit longer?
Hooks, I believe, I think he was a one and done because he was high school in 2018. So this will be Hooks' last year unless there's some crazy waiver loophole in the NCAA we don't know about. So
Payne, Hooks, I like Hooks. I'd like him to have around a little bit more.
He was 2018 high school, so I don't think there's any scenario, COVID, red shirts, or anything he can be out. And I believe Shorter was as well, or Shorter's 2018 as well. So I believe they're both, this is it for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking to those guys, Mardner, I mean, he really hasn't, I have to pull up his stats. I don't even know if he's really caught a pass.
I don't know if he's gotten a catch. I don't know if he's got a catch this year. He's been banged up for injury.
Yeah.
And the few times he's been in or been targeted, it's just kind of been an eye roll of like, he doesn't even look like he's turning his head to realize the ball's coming his way. Maybe that's something between the ears that's going on. Now, he was also high school 2018. So I believe he doesn't have.
Oh, he's transferred a million times. I think he's done.
Cincinnati. Yeah, so I think the guys you brought in there, which just kind of goes to show that assuming Auburn doesn't lose anybody to the transfer portal, receiver-wise, you're going to have to – yeah, they all have 1 year left. So you're going to have to hit the reset button again on this wide receiver room, which I'm sure some people are okay with and would probably prefer. But then you run the risk of having it happening again of just you need that. And I guess you got Burton to sort of cross your fingers and hope that you can get that. Now at this point, with as bad as it's been passing, I mean, you got to look at all the receivers you have in the room that are on the team that could be coming back and sell them not to transfer again. And now going back to Peyton Thorne real quick, because obviously this is the production goes hand in hand with the quarterback. Peyton Thorne came in as a three-star to high school as well as a transfer. I think a lot of Auburn people really, really bugged for Thorne. I don't know how many Michigan State people were super sad to see him leave. I think they looked at some raw numbers and maybe fell in love with the idea of, wow, this guy's thrown the rock around. He's gotten 10 wins. Well, he's got 5 wins. And he also had minus offensive line last year. I mean, we see what Coleman's doing down in Florida State. He had Kenneth Walker the year before, who was a machine and is still killing it.
And is on my fantasy team. Thank you, Ken Walker.
Yeah, so Peyton Thorne had some weapons around him. And we know that anybody who's got weapons around him can look exponentially better than they are. Now, to give Thorne his credit, he did what he needed to do to get that there. But is there going to be a drop-off when they're not there? It's looking like the numbers and the eye test really speak for themselves. So let's jump over to the defensive side of the ball here. I'm going to toss some names out for you. We got Elijah McAllister. We got Nasila Kite. We are going to have – hold on 1 second. We got Nasila Kite. Tolan didn't end up making it to the team.
Yeah.
So RIP to Tolan. He didn't actually pass away. He just didn't make it to Auburn before someone freaks out in the comments. I didn't know Tolan died. Lawrence Johnson. We already hit Justin Rogers.
Mm-hmm. And then Sings. Steven Sings.
Yep. You got Austin Keys, who, and he's been banged up with injury, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. What about that Champ Anthony? He was a JUCO. Do JUCOs count as they don't count as transfers?
I would kind of count as a transfer, because I mean it's kind of that weird gray area now. Because I mean, technically, if you remember, you played your old NCAA games. What did they say when you're doing the little recruiting thing? JUCO transfer.
Yeah.
It was the original transfer. It was the junior college. So I would still kind of count it. Like I'd count a guy like Keontae Scott in there, but also defensively, we got McLeod and Larry Nixon in there.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then I mean, technically we forgot about Dylan Senda on the O-line, but he came in super late. That was kind of a futures piece here.
And so Muskrat too. We don't really talk about Muskrat, but same thing. He really hasn't played any snaps.
Yeah. Kind of longer plays on them. But so the defensive guys, what has your thought been on some of these guys on defense?
I think my biggest disappointment to this point in the season has been McLeod. I think the hype around him, I mean, I don't get it, because he's a natural pass rusher. And I'll tell you this, it's one of those where you say, well, he was at App State, maybe he didn't translate. Some of his best games rushing the quarterback were against SEC teams.
Yeah, A&M.
It was against A&M, yeah. The game they won. So I think that's been my biggest disappointment there. I want to throw a conversation at you.
Okay.
And it's just a side thing. And I think it kind of speaks to before we finish the defense, I think it speaks to the transfer portal world and where Auburn's at in it. So, and I think I wrap this into basketball a little bit. I think in the basketball transfer portal, there are the known commodities. I would consider those to be Jani Broome a couple years back, that Grant Nelson kid that went to Bama. You know what I mean? Like these guys that everybody and their mama wants.
Yep.
Looking at that in football, they're a thing in football. You know, the players that the receivers that came from here and they had 1,800 yards last year. And
the Colemans of the world, the Caleb Williams, the premier guys.
So here's my question for you. In the recent memory of Auburn football in the transfer portal, how many transfers would you argue were known commodities? Like those type of players, Coleman, those players you explained. How many would argue?
That Auburn has landed?
How many has Auburn landed?
In recent years, if you take JUCOs out, I cannot think of a single one.
That's my point.
You'd have to go back to like Cam Newton, maybe a Duke Williams, and every now and then they'd get guys that were just absolute busts from the JUCO ranks. You'd get that top five-star guy that didn't pan out.
Anyway, exactly.
Those were a long time ago. But if we're staying in just recent years, which is relevant, yeah, you're right. I mean, there really is not a transfer that you can say of, oh, wow, Auburn went out and got that guy. And that's you could argue that's a problem, especially with how easy it is and how much more abundant it is today.
And I'm not trying to sidetrack us, even though I am doing that, and I apologize. But point is, you don't have a Keon Coleman. He was supposed to come on a visit. He didn't. And I'm not really blaming Coach Freeze for that right now. I don't think Coach Freeze wants to build his program. I think he wants his program to be based off recruiting, and he's doing a kick-behind job at that. And he's going to continue to do that. Auburn football is moving in the right direction. I am very happy with this program and the direction it's going in. But I do think when it comes to the portal, you have got to start landing these known commodities. I can think of a few, and I can't remember names, but like there was a receiver that wanted to come that was we wanted him big time, and then he goes to Florida, or one that goes to South Carolina. Like I remember, and a lot of them seem to be receivers. But my point is, a lot of these transfers, I just think people get these expectations, and I don't think Auburn has landed one known commodity in the transfer portal. So I think people need to realize that when they look at these portal additions, they can help. Some of them are going to hit. You're going to have hits.
And I think quarterback as well there, especially because there's a lot of quarterbacks that were, we'll just say rumored or, you know, visiting or coaches were talking to, that I think a lot of people were already buying their jersey in their head.
Yeah.
And okay, obviously they're not here.
And make that point. Spencer Sanders, how's he been playing? How's he been doing? Has he had a good year?
So funny enough, I had not thought about him until I saw a random tweet that I think I'd sent out about him last night. I forget, because there were so many. I just quit getting attached to him because there were just so many of those guys that I'm like, oh, I totally forgot Auburn was thinking about this guy or that guy. I mean, it just got to be the. I mean, it was literally like the meme thing where just like Tiger on everybody that was in the portal.
And I saw you put that on the Draylon Miller kid. That was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a bit on Twitter, but bit was becoming almost so real to where fans were doing that, where if there was a guy in the portal, it was almost like they were just so desperate for the idea of that guy being at Auburn, they just said, all right, let's go. So
exactly, but my point with bringing up Spencer Sanders, I know where he is. I know what he's doing. He's going like this on the sideline. You'll see him doing it in Jordan Hare on Saturday.
He's got
the Casey Thompson kid. No knock to him. He tore his ACL. I don't want to, but where'd he end up? FAU. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These Peyton Thorne, I think you could throw in there as well. My point is, I think fans need to maintain better expectations. Myself included. I think everybody, I'm not saying this like from a high stoop looking down. I'm saying I do this too, but we need to have better expectations for transfers because I think a lot of times they're transferring for a reason. Like I said, that's half the transfers. Now we can get back to defense. I'm sorry. I completely sidetracked this, but it was a good conversation. I'm happy with that conversation.
Yeah, that was all it was. Yeah. And obviously Spencer Sanders, I was just checking his stats. I mean, he's like thrown one pass against an SEC school just in garbage time. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say bullet dodge there. And even too, I just want to give a little sidebar here. Grayson McCall, like statistically, is playing the worst he's played by far at Coastal Carolina because everybody thought he was going to be the saving grace of Auburn. The most interceptions he had thrown, and this will be his fifth year starting because of COVID. Or I guess not fifth year starting, sorry. His fourth year starting because of COVID. So in the three previous years, the most interceptions he'd thrown 3, 3, and 2. That was all season for those seasons. He's already at 6 so far.
Yeah.
And with only 8 touchdowns, and his completion percentage is nearly 4% lower than the lowest it had been prior to that. So, yeah, and his QBR is the lowest it's ever been. So just kind of getting that too. Maybe he wouldn't have been the end-all, be-all savior because I think a lot of people in their head are saying, oh, if we'd gotten Grayson McCall, things could have been different. And maybe they could have been. But as you said, just assuming that it's new and shiny doesn't necessarily mean it's going to have, you know, great things under the hood. But yeah, defensively, we got to wrap this up because I know we've got to, I got one little sidebar to get it to. So any other quick little highlights you want to say on the guys defensively before I get to the last thing before we close the episode?
Defensively, I think McLeod.
Disappointed McLeod.
But I was going to ask you, what's his eligibility?
McLeod? Or
I think that I still believe in him in the future. I think he's been banged up. I don't know if he's been 100%.
One more year for McLeod, and I don't see Nasilakite. Oh, well, I think Nasilakite was a one and done.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is, I was happy with him. I know he got hurt. Yep. Lawrence Johnson really hasn't done a ton. You know, you haven't heard of him a ton.
In debt feast, but
yeah. McLeod. I was Rogers. We talked about Rogers.
McAllister. I mean, he, you know, the height to the performance, he's been fine. You wish you'd seen a little bit more because he had played at this level. So,
yeah.
But Larry Nixon, last one.
Nixon, same thing. I think he's been lunged into a little bit more playing time. I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been awesome. I don't think he's been horrible. I think he's been fine. You know, that's how I look at it.
Okay, last question before we get into the final little tidbit. I want a little bonus content here. How would you rate the transfers overall so far? And is there anybody you think could potentially be a shining star when we look back at this at the end of the season?
You mean like grade the class, or are you saying grade each player?
No, I would say overall the class. Or if you want to break it down offensively and defensively, that makes it a little bit easier. And then just say, is there one player who you think, hey, when we look back in the season, expect his stock to be rising from right now?
That's I would, if I had to grade this class, I would give it like a C, maybe a C. I don't think you could make the case for a B, but I mean, like I said, we ran through those names. I don't think anybody really on this list has been like exceptional. Like Batiste done good things. Fairweather's done good things. McAllister has done good things. The offensive line transfers have helped, but I think Peyton Thorne weighs you down. I think some of these receivers weigh you down. I mean, I'm not, when I say C, I'm not saying that everybody, I think that's a perfect, it's not a D or an F, but it's not an A or a B. I think it's just kind of been fine. You know, C's get degrees, but they don't get SEC wins, evidently.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, my real thoughts on this class, if a player that, I mean, it just, the future, I guess it would have to be probably Dylan Wade. If I had to pick one guy that I would say you could look back on the end of the season and say that he was a superstar. I mean, I think he's, the PFF grade's been not exceptional, but good. He's been good. He's done a good job. And with what you've seen in the past, I think good for Auburn is exceptional, out of this world, awesome when it comes right to offensive line. So I'd probably have to go, I'd have to go there with Dylan Wade.
Well, I think that's fair. Anybody listening who agrees or disagrees, shoot me and or Andrew a DM. You see in the little ticker where you can find it. But I want to close this out with one last quick little tidbit. We can't talk about transfers unless we talk about Harsin's guys really, really fast. Some of the ones on the team. And I've said it, and I'm going to give it credit because it's aging very well. Harsin seemed to be a pretty fair recruiter. So not going to go over everybody just for time's sake here. But the guys who are still on the team that Harsin brought in, got to give Harsin his fair credit where it's due, because there's not many places it's due. But for being fair, we'll give him this. Marcus Bragg was a Harsin guy, playing very, very well. Coy Moore has been pretty banged up, so, you know, I don't want to put the jury out on him right now. It's just kind of really hard to say what that may look like. Eugene Asante, Harsin guy, playing like a machine. DJ James had a pretty high bar coming into the season, so by his own standard, I don't think he's playing as well as we thought, maybe taking the leap forward, but still a very good player. Big asset to the team. Then, of course, Jason Jones, who has been a, I would say, just very, very consistent. I don't know if you'd say lights out, but he's been a very solid presence on this team. And then I'm seeing if there's anybody from the year before who's, oh, how could I forget? Donovan Kaufman.
And Robbie.
Of course, yeah. How could I forget Robbie Ashford? So out of the guys that Harsin brought in that are still on the team, I would say all those guys are making very, very positive impacts. So got to give them credit where credit was due. They did evaluate very well in the transfers, and Auburn is yielding the fruits of that. And obviously the guys that are come on this year who are coming back next year could easily take those leap forwards and really say, hey, they really did it. Or we may say, didn't really get as much as we thought of out of that guy. So to close it out, was there any thoughts on the Harsin transfers before we wrap it up, Andrew?
Yeah, I think once again, everybody listen, don't like read into that and go, well, why are the Harsin transfers better than the, you know, those players have had a year to adjust in the SEC. You've had a couple, you know, been in Auburn. So I wouldn't make that leap, but I would say, you know, Asante's been incredible. You could argue he's been the MVP of this team. Kaufman's been a good player. Then you got Robbie. Obviously, we know what Robbie is. Jason Jones, I mean, once again, just a lot of solid players that are helping this football team out a lot this year. DJ James, going to be an NFL player soon. A lot of players that help this football team out. I think that's a lot. There's a lot of talent in that transfer class there. And like I say, don't take all my negativity. I'm happy with the way this football program is moving. This year was never supposed to be great. This football team can still win 7 games. They can. People that are down on the dumps, Auburn was never supposed to win. Based on FPI numbers, based off Vegas odds, we're never supposed to win.
6-6. That was Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. So,
and yeah, and then
6 or 7-5, I think Auburn fans should be happy with that.
Yeah, and the key to it for roster rebuild, just like you said, it's, you mentioned it perfectly there. Guys that were in the system, they've come back, the familiarity with everything, and that's the key to it. And I would not be surprised for some of these transfers to stick around for next year and years to the future. You really see big leaps forward for them, because that is the tried and true way of how you build a football roster. So that concludes today. Everybody, thank you for checking out and listening to the Auburn Daily Podcast and YouTube show. Last thing we'll say, Andrew, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, just read all our stuff at Auburn Daily. We appreciate it. It helps a ton. Thank you all for doing that and really appreciate it.
Okay. That's going to wrap it up, everybody. Thank you all for listening and have a good rest of your day.